truth.
Radio. We're broadcasting live on We the People Radio Network. My name is Cosmos, and this is the official broadcast of TruthAction.org. We're pushing for 9/11 truth and justice. The 9/11 truth movement is growing. Nothing's going to stop us, and we're not going away. Come hell or high water, we're going to be here. We're not only seeking justice for the crimes of 9/11, for the 9/11 family members, the 9/11 first responders, but we know that exposing the truth about 9/11, the foundational myth of the so-called global war on terror, will not only put an end to the 9/11 wars, but it will put an end to the ability of the state to manipulate populations into war through lies, through provocations, and through the use of false flag terrorism. So if you want to put an end to the wars, you got to get behind 9/11 truth. This was the crime of the century with no criminal investigation. And this is our first show in the new year of 2008. One thing that we do at truthaction.org is not only promote activism for 9/11 truth every day in every way, outreach to our individual communities, educational outreach about 9/11, but we promote united action around the world on the 11th day of every month until justice. We're setting ourselves up for the long haul here with the 11th day of every month. We're saying we're not going away no matter what. We'll be here. We'll always be back together, united, on the 11th day of every month until we get justice for these crimes. And January 11th is a very significant day, this upcoming International Day of Truth Action.
It's our 12th day.
Our 12th International Day of Truth Action, meaning we will have been doing this for a whole year now. And in the past year, we have seen amazing things happen with this campaign, from starting out in just a handful of locations in the United States, spreading around the world. We've got united action taking place in many different countries, in at least four continents, all across the United States, all across Canada, in countries like Germany, England, Spain, Sweden, Australia, and beyond. And this January 11th is also the sixth anniversary of the opening of the prison camp at Guantanamo Bay. 6 years of unlawful detainment and torture at Guantanamo Bay. And for me, this anniversary is particularly significant because while I was suspicious about the events that took place on the day of 9/11. Since that day, it was really when I first saw the photographs, the first photographs coming back from what was then called Camp X-Ray in Guantanamo Bay, when I saw these in my local newspaper and knew with a certainty deep in my gut when I saw these photographs that something was deadly wrong with the story, with the whole agenda we were being fed, and it was at that point that I really started to look into the truth behind 9/11. So we're going to talk some more about the campaign, the International Days of Truth Action, on the 11th day of every month until justice. Next week, we're going to be having an Actions of January 11th special. We will be talking to activists who took action on January 11th. Maybe you'll be one of them. If you haven't joined us yet taking action on the 11th, please get involved. This is a great time to get involved. Go to truthaction.org. Find out what it's all about. And just do it. Commit to do it. Join us. Help us grow this. I also want to give a shout out for a new film that's been released. It's on DVD right now. It's called In Their Own Words, The Untold Stories of the 9/11 Family Members. And it is produced by the makers of the film 9/11 Press for Truth. It's kind of like a sequel to that film. It's basically material that was shot for that film that there was no room for in that movie, but it's even more powerful to my mind than the original, and it's a great tool for doing outreach for 9/11 Truth, and I encourage everyone to get a copy of it. If you go to 911pressfortruth.com, you can order the DVD, and it's also up on Google, too. The whole film is up on Google now. It's called In Their Own Words. Today we're going to take time to shine some light on some of the disinformational hoax material being aggressively marketed within the 9/11 Truth Movement, as if the official story of 9/11 wasn't enough disinformation for us. We've got to deal with this hoax material being aggressively pushed within the movement. Specifically the so-called no planes and so-called TV fakery hoaxes. The core material that these hoaxes are based on has been circulating for a number of years, but recently this long debunked and discredited material has been repackaged, dressed up in a much more slick format, and is being aggressively pushed by a very small faction of fanatical advocates. This effort bears all the earmarks of a deliberately orchestrated campaign to disinform, distract, and discredit the movement for 9/11 Truth. There is a general acceptance within the movement that this material is fraudulent, and none of the credible 9/11 Truth sites allow it to be marketed on their pages, which is a very good thing. But that alone doesn't stop the disinformation campaign from having a very negative effect in multiple areas. And so while we'll generally just ignore this stuff and not give it attention or airtime, it's crucial to give it just enough attention to expose it for what it is, to provide educational materials to combat it and to limit its negative effects, and then move on. Our first guest today is someone who has done some great work in exposing the disinformation in the online video called September Clues. Anthony Lawson has had an extensive career in radio production, film production, and voiceover. His production company won a Palme d'Or award at the Cannes Film Festival. I first became aware of his work with his excellent short video on World Trade Center 7 called This Is an Orange, which you can find posted on the front page of truthaction.org right now. Anthony Lawson, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Cosmos. It's afternoon. Oh, good afternoon in California.
Yes, it's afternoon in California, and it's early morning in Thailand,
That's
where
right.
you are.
That's right. Very nice day, too, it looks like.
Great. Well, thanks for joining us today. Anthony, I love your work. Like I just said, I first became aware of it with the This Is an Orange video, which is a great short video, very short and to the point, based on the concept of visual identification, where you show what controlled demolitions look like, and then you show Building 7, and strangely enough, they look exactly alike.
That's right. Yeah.
Just a little bit of background. How did you first, when did your interest in 9/11 and Building 7 come about?
Oh, very early. Very early on, I knew that there was something absolutely strange about the whole thing. The peeling buildings, the Twin Towers. But I wasn't aware of Building 7 until quite a bit later. And when that came up, it just said exactly to me what the video, I hope, says to other people. Who's telling me that this came down, you know, due to fire? It's obviously a controlled demolition. A lot of people still hang on to the NIST and FEMA false information, I think. Incredibly to feel it is possible for all of those, or was possible for all of those support columns to collapse at exactly the same moment. Go figure. I don't know how people can look at that. Those videos, the two major ones from the side and then from the one in the distance, and say that is not exactly the way a controlled demolition looks.
Yes, it's incredible, and it's very, very obvious when you see the evidence, and of course that's what your video does, is lay that out in a very simple way, and it's a great educational tool, and I recommend anyone who hasn't come across the short video, This Is an Orange, to check it out and to use it as an educational tool to let people know about Building 7. It's pretty much the quickest way, other than just a clip of Building 7 collapse, it's the quickest way to educate people about that.
Well, I hope it works. It's what I sent in my, you know, the few things I got up to during. Oh, my screen's got that. The past was I did some commercials, anti-smoking commercials. Well, I'm not sure that they could be actually classed as commercials for the BBC, but anti-smoking announcements for the BBC. They didn't run them for very long, but they took the approach that if you spend the sort of money and the sort of time and use the kind of talent that people like Marlboro, Philip Morris, and people like that use to put against something like smoking, then you have a chance of doing it. But if you just make sort of quiet government announcements saying don't do this, it's not quite as strong.
And the BBC, I guess, for some reason backed off those. They're really powerful statements. You said they were scary, even.
Well, yes, they were.
Maybe some corporate power came to bear in keeping those off the air.
It's hard to tell what the real reason was. The producer, a man called Michael Bunce, he moved on to something else, and I think his the person who followed him on probably wasn't so interested in what he'd done, so they were just dropped, basically. It's very similar to what happened at the beginning of the AIDS scare. People just ignored it, and until it finally showed that itself that it wasn't going to go away. And people started doing something about it, by which time, of course, it was basically too late.
Now, after you made This Is an Orange, you began working on a series of videos exposing the bad information contained in numerous so-called so-called No Planes videos, but especially the video, the eight-part video called September Clues. How did that come about? How did you get interested in doing that and motivated to spend the time exposing that?
Well, it's quite an ironic little story, actually. You're probably aware of somebody called Ace Baker. He wrote a song about 9/11, and he's hooked up with James Fetzer and Morgan Reynolds. And shortly after the video This Is an Orange came out, I was interviewed by James Fetzer on his program. And I wasn't too aware that they were heavily into No Planes. I knew that there had been some material put onto their site, which at the time James Fetzer said that, you know, they wanted to put out both sides of you know, the coin. How many sides does a coin have? Well, it's only got two. But, you know, let other people have their say. Well, shortly after that, Ace Baker emailed me and asked me if I would do a voiceover for a new full-length video that he said he was making. And I said, well, if it's about 9/11, I want full script approval. I'm not going to say anything that somebody else writes. But I was offered money, actually, as well. Money was in the offing. I was given to believe. And I basically... Hello?
Hey. We're heading up for a break here. Well, that's amazing. That's a new one. They tried to recruit you to do voiceovers for what sounds like was going to be a No Planes feature.
That's right.
And look what happened. We'll be right back on the other side of this break with our guest, Anthony Lawson. Truth Revolution Radio. This is the official broadcast of truthaction.org. And today we're taking some time to shine some light on some of the hoax material that's being aggressively pushed within the 9/11 truth movement, specifically the so-called No Planes and TV fakery material. We're talking with our guest, Anthony Lawson, who has graciously joined us early morning in Thailand, joined us on the show. Anthony's done a series of videos that debunk some of the fraudulent material being pushed in a series of films called September Clues. And if you want to see Anthony's work on this, you can go to youtube.com/alawson911 and check it out. Right before the break, I asked Anthony how he got involved in doing this, in confronting and exposing this material in this series of films, and ironically enough, he was there was an attempt to recruit him to do voiceover for a No Planes film.
Well, I didn't realize it was a No Planes film at that stage. What I asked for was editorial control over what I said, because 9/11 is not a commercial. 9/11 is not selling an airline or an expensive watch. 9/11 is a very serious matter, and I put that to him. I said, if you haven't got any money in the end, I don't mind. I'll do it if I believe in it. I was then recommended by this guy Ace Baker to take a look at September Clues, which he said was a very good series of videos about 9/11. And I looked at them. I was just aghast. how can how can I have anything to do with a person who really thinks that this is accurate material? And I wrote back and I said, this is absurd. You know, the whole idea that, excuse me, that the 9/11 attacks were orchestrated, well, particularly in New York, were orchestrated by the TV stations. Totally absurd. I mean, the planes, photographs of the planes, the videos of the planes are obviously genuine, but they were saying that they're not, and counting pixels and doing all sorts of weird and wonderful things to videos to prove. I mean, this web fairy person made the plane in the Norde video look like a bicycle by all this manipulation. So I said to Ace Baker, you know, I'm not going to say any of that stuff. You'll have to tone it down. And he said, well, we're going to interview second opinion people and stuff like that. And I said, no, it's not good enough. So we then became, well, how would you put it? Antagonists, I suppose, with me making the video 9/11 busted, September Clues busted, and then another one called Impossible Speed and Impact busted.
Something that's important to point out here is that these videos don't just contain bad information, but once you start looking into it, there's no way to get around the fact that they are created to intentionally deceive.
That's right, absolutely. From almost frame one. When they start getting the story, September Clues, certainly, they have an interview with a woman called Teresa Renault, who was the wife of the producer of the man who was speaking, the voiceover or presenter, who was speaking from another location. Now, this sort of thing, I've worked in broadcasting, and if there's a disaster happening in a certain point, I find something you know that might have a view of it. And but it's been implied by the No Plane people that Teresa Renault was a plant, etc., etc. But Simon Shack took out very important information from the segments that he used and made her seem as though she was lying. That's deception. It wasn't accidental. Just deception. He took it out. So, and then you go through them and you see the rest of it is either deception, innuendo, or making something of nothing.
It's really amazing, and it makes you wonder, now, who would do this? You know, obviously the person who put together this series of videos is pretty talented in terms of putting the video together and also musically. And it's pretty outrageous that someone would choose to use their talents to create even more deception, more obfuscation on the topic of 9/11 when we're dealing with so much already from the official sources, from the government, and from the vastly complicit corporate media. And it's a real shame. Now, you know, a lot of people argue, oh, you know, just ignore this. You know, don't give it any attention. You know, don't give them attention. Don't give them airtime, blah, blah, blah. And I think, you know, that worked for a while when, you know, when it was just really obvious hoax material on a few random sites. But now that it's been repackaged in this really slick format, I think it definitely needs addressing because, while, like I said in the intro to the show, none of the credible 9/11 truth sites will host any of this material. But meanwhile, it's definitely seemed to be getting a bit of traction sort of along the underbelly of the truth movement. And I realized firsthand that it definitely did need some attention, some focusing on, at least enough to expose it and to provide educational tools to combat it when I encountered a number of people that I know and have worked with who were being seduced by the trickery in this video.
Oh, that's right. That's the insidious nature of it. If you look at it very carefully, with an open mind, apart from the, you know, the very heavy, the basic editing lies, which are difficult or almost impossible to detect unless you go through and look at the material as it stood before it was edited down, and the particular one of the nose-in, nose-out hoax, where he claims that the nose coming out of the building is the same as the nose going in, therefore it was a video graphic. That's absolute nonsense, because the nose coming outside of it changes shape anyway. But he then fades out the nose in section of his comparison, and so he's comparing the nose out with the nose out, which is no comparison at all, but calling it a pixel perfect match. And that is the key, I think, to the deception. This is the one thing that he set out to do. He might have made a mistake, perhaps you could say, with the editing of the location of people, but this is deception, plain and simple.
Flat out fraud.
Right. That's good.
And
that's
the videos that you made have really shown that very clearly, and I recommend your videos as a tool for anyone who might have gotten sucked into this, or if you know anyone else who has had the misfortune to be seduced into this nonsense. There's also a great paper that's been produced by a man named Nick Irving that goes point by point, every point made in this video, and debunks it. And you can find that paper at truthaction.org/debunkingseptemberclues.pdf. And we'll be right back after this break on Truth Revolution Radio.
Gentlemen, we have called you together to inform you that we are going to overthrow the United States government.
You still think that jet fuel brought down the World Trade Center? Does anybody else see a problem here? If the government has nothing to hide, why are they so afraid to answer a few questions? This story does not add up.
All right, we're back on Truth Revolution Radio. This is the official broadcast of TruthAction.org. And in the 9/11 Truth Movement, we're just dealing with disinformation all over the place, from without and within. You know, not only do they tell us that the jet fuel brings down the World Trade Center, but then you've got fanatical advocates of hoax theories, such as no planes at all were involved in 9/11. And our guest today, Anthony Lawson, has done a series of videos which very adequately debunk and expose the bad information being promulgated in a series of videos called September Clues. And one thing you've had to deal with, Anthony, in the course of doing this is the disposition that the advocates of this material take, which is anything but civil. You know, if you dare to take on this hoax material and expose it for what it is, then you're harassed endlessly. You know, plagued by these fanatical advocates, and you know, anyone can look at your YouTube accounts and just see it flooded with all these sock puppets, puppet accounts, you know,
yeah,
posting death threats and just the most obnoxious type of stuff.
Well, the interesting thing is about this, and I pointed this out to several of the people who have, you know, been more extreme. Is that I put my email address at the end of each of the videos I do, because I don't believe in pseudonyms to a great extent. I think if you feel about something, you should stand up and be counted. But very, very few emails have been sent to me. The emails I've received have been from people like you, and from other people who are interested in the truth movement, congratulating me, saying how much they liked the video, or, you know, commenting on it in a very positive way. But I've had very, very few emails sent to me to amuse me, because I think the people who like to show themselves on these comments columns are people who need to see their pseudonyms in print and their words in print. I think that that's what it's more to do with than whether they agree with what one says or not. It's extraordinary.
Well, that highlights another aspect of this that I wanted to bring up, which is that it seems to me very much so that the majority of support for this stuff is manufactured. And I don't want to give the impression by doing this show that it's really that widespread. I think that, you know, if you look through YouTube, which YouTube.com, which is being swamped with this kind of material, I feel very strongly that it's a show for the general public. Basically, you know, like any disinformation campaign, the purposes are multifold. And I think on one level, it's out there with an attempt to distract people who have, you know, just woken up to the fact that we're not being told the truth about 9/11. And in fact, you know, it's a great big lie that needs exposing. Once that happens, your mind is kind of blown wide open and you can be susceptible to some stuff that you might not otherwise be susceptible to. But I think that to a large extent, it's really done even more so as a show for the general public, and to provide the corporate media with a kind of straw man about of what the 9/11 truth movement is about. Like, see, these people all think that no planes hit the towers. Now, they've been saying that in the corporate media for years, and that's what they'll pull up. And and lo and behold, you know, you have hundreds of accounts on YouTube that exist solely for the purpose of promoting this very specific kind of disinformation. But that's another reason why I feel like it needs to be addressed, because whereas I do feel that a lot of the support for this is manufactured, September Clues is a very slick video. And I've seen its effects on a number of people who are real people who otherwise have good common sense.
Well, there must be a lot of gullible people out there, but when you talk about who comment on the YouTube accounts that have these strange names, I think it's a huge merry-go-round. I think some of them genuinely believe what September Clues says and want to believe that it was the media that put on the show with graphic planes and what have you, but they still believe that the media was in the conspiracy with the government. Others are the disinformation people, as you say, and it's impossible to determine who's doing what with which and to whom. It just is impossible. So you can't really tell whether the people who want to believe that it was the media, or the people who say, no, it wasn't the media, it was straightforward, it was 19 men with box cutters and stuff like that. It is a mess. It's a total mess. All I would say to anybody that wants to look at these is look at them carefully and stop the video every now and then and say, hang on, is that right? Could that be right? Is this true? You know, the fact that a comment is made that, for example, the Norde brothers, I'm not sure who was taking the shot at the time, the comment that the second plane impact was missed by the Norde brothers, this was brought up as being a huge, important point. Well, the guy was pointing the camera at the crowd, then back at the smoke on the North Tower, then back at the crowd. And as I said to you yesterday, you know, if you're filming a child and a cat, you put the camera on the cat and the child will do what you want to do, and you put the camera on the child and the cat will do what you want to do. This is called Murphy's Law. So this is what happened in that instance, obviously. But Shaq makes a big deal of it. and say, why, but never explaining why the Norde brothers would not want for the second act. Extraordinary.
Well, your videos really do a good job of pointing out the deception in these videos, and do it in quite an entertaining way, too. So I would recommend that people, you know, who've maybe been misled by this or know others who have, check out your videos at youtube.com/A Lawson 911. That's A Lawson 911. And also Nick Irving's paper, which really, I mean, if you go through Nick Irving's paper and read point by point all of the points in this video, there can be no doubt in your mind that the video was produced with the intention to deceive. And we're making that paper available at truthaction.org. You can go to truthaction.org/debunkingseptemberclues.pdf and download it there. We've got a caller on the line. Let's talk to Chad in Alaska. Hey, Chad, how's it going?
Hi. I missed the first 20 minutes of the program, but in the last 20 minutes I've heard you saying that people that say no planes hit the buildings or disinfo agents or something like that.
Well, not necessarily, but there's definitely, if you look at these videos, like I just said, if you look at Anthony's videos or read Nick Irving's paper, it becomes very clear that in the production of this series, September Clues, it contains intentionally deceptive material. We don't know if these people are agents or who they are. There's no way to know what their intentions are.
Well, I've been an aeronautical engineer for 20 years and a FAA certified airframe and power plant mechanic, and I also have a BS in chemistry from the University of Iowa. And and I've watched all the videos of the planes running into the buildings, and they're bogus. That's all, you know. Planes are basically tinker toys. I mean, that's the of an analogy as I can, you know, tell a layman. I mean, that's how they're built. They're designed to carry the weight of the engines on the ground.
Planes are tinker toys. Anthony, do you have a quick response to that?
Well, I've been in touch with a guy called Field McConnell, who's flown F-14s, the Phantom, I think it's the F-14. And we're getting some music there, but I'll try and...
Yeah, we're going to have to pick this up after the break.
Okay,
planes are tinker toys.
Okay.
Radio, broadcasting live on We the People Radio Network. This is the official broadcast of truthaction.org. And today we're talking with Anthony Lawson, who has made a great series of videos, starting with This Is an Orange, exposing World Trade Center number 7 as a controlled demolition, and then he moved on to debunking September Clues. And right before the break, we had a call from Chad in Alaska who said that planes are basically tinker toys and the videos are fake. And, Anthony, you were responding to Chad before we had the break there. I want to let you continue with that.
Well, I don't believe they are tinker toys. I think something flying at 535 miles per hour, in the shape of a tube with 2 9-ton engines hanging on them on the wings, has got to be fairly strong, because carrying those engines and carrying all that weight, you cannot be a tinker toy. I've heard that expression before. What aircraft do you work on, Chad?
Let's get Chad here. Chad's on the line. Hey, Chad, what aircraft do you work on?
I want to say that I'm also a private and commercial pilot, and I'm very well familiar with the strengths and dynamics of aircraft. and I've worked
what size planes?
150, and I scored 100% on the 747 mechanical tests that, you know, were given before you're, before you get a job to work on them. And there's a few points I'd like to make that I keep hearing. Like, I just heard that the plane was flying at 570 miles an hour or something, and that's not possible. That, you know, that that's the maximum speed at altitude, like at 40,000 feet. But at the height of the World Trade Centers with that air density, the maximum velocity of those planes would have been about 300 miles an hour.
Well, I believe Anthony addresses that in his video, Impossible Speed, Busted.
Well, I have, it's on a website. It's a U.S. Air Force lieutenant colonel with 22 years experience in the maintenance field who gives a very clear explanation as to why and how the speed was possible. What can I say?
And I do encourage anyone who has a problem with these concepts to check out Anthony's videos. And you can find them at youtube.com/A Lawson 911. And the so-called impossible speed myth has been busted.
Well, I'd like to just talk again. Captain Field McConnell, who you can Google him, has been an a Phantom pilot. He's flown Phantoms at 600 miles per hour, a few feet off the ground. He's then spent 15 years as a DC-9 and pilot, A320, the Airbus, the DC-10, and the B747-400. And I was put in contact with him by some people I was in talking to about this matter, and I specifically wrote him an email, and I'll read it to you. Could a Boeing 767-200 have dived from, say, 30,000 feet, then leveled off to hit the tower, the south tower, moving at 586 miles per hour, which is 509 knots? His answer was yes. So there we are. We have two diverging opinions. And then if we go to the U.S. Air Force Colonel, he explains it. In fact, the FAA permits the Boeing 767 to fly at 486 miles per hour from sea level up to about 18,000 feet. It's in their paper. And we all know that speed limit that we see on the side of the road isn't the speed that our car can go. Of course, these things are tested for far greater stresses and things that they will encounter in normal operating conditions.
Let's take another call. We've got Mike in Tennessee on the line. Hey, Mike, how's it going?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Good.
The thing that, you know, I'd like to bring up here, you know, in my opinion, right off the front, is I say no planes hit any of those towers.
Really?
Right.
And what makes you say that?
That's a fact, okay? Let's just back up. One, I have never found any evidence of any planes at any of those sites. Number two, the government has come back and said that there was only one plane out of those four that actually took off. Remember, they first said there was four different planes hijacked, and then they come back and said, no, there was only one. The other three never existed. They messed up. So that shows there was only one plane is what they're saying. That's what the government is saying on this. And I'm saying I don't have any evidence of any plane or any passengers or any luggage or anything at any of these sites.
So, Mike, let me ask you this. So you believe that all the footage, all the photographs of the planes in New York City from all the various angles were completely fabricated from scratch?
Absolutely. 1,000%.
How was that done?
And how was that done, Mike?
Because they had this set up. This has been planned now for 20 years, this kind of thing. And so
Amateur video people pointing the camera at the north. They all had their image of the plane injected into it.
One that was aiming any of those cameras were somebody that was working for the big mainstream media, wasn't it?
Well, you don't think that there were any amateurs who were down there just happened to be on the street and they happened to see that one of the huge towers in their city was burning and they had a video camera and they pointed it. There were quite a few people who did the same thing, who were going on a conspiracy tour, I suppose you would call it, to look at the Statue of Liberty. And two people caught that, one on a stills camera and one on a video camera, which is shown on CNN, of the plane flying into the building. If you put those two pictures together, they match perfectly. How do you explain that?
Let's just back up here. You know, the people that was there videoing the firemen and caught the first plane, so to speak, I was in the Air Force, okay, so I've been around planes and jets and stuff. And when you hear one coming through, say, the city, it echoes through all of these buildings, and there's no way to tell what direction it's coming from. And that seems so amazing to me, just pure amazing, that this guy's videoing around, and he takes this camera perfect and catches this plane, you know, what looks like
a plane
flying into the building.
Give me a break. Come along. It wasn't perfect. There's about 23 frames there. If it was going to be perfect, he would have put the fireman in front of him. If he had been, you know, lots of people say they were there, they were planted, he would have put the fireman in front of it. All he would have needed to do would be tilt up. He had the fireman at a 90-degree angle to the building. He had to pan the camera. He wasn't in focus. He caught the impact out of focus, and it was about 23 frames. It wasn't perfect. Give me a break.
Well, this is just amazing. I want to know. Hey, Mike, you're still on the line. Can you just tell me how was this done? How was this fabricated? All these airplanes from all these different angles.
Okay, I say that September Clues, in theory, has got it right. You know, in other words, a company like CNN came there and with the computer graphics that's way advanced, came there and did every bit of that. Had their certain cameras right there taking these different angles.
And so they did this within the course of a few hours on 9/11?
Yes.
Every minute of the plane, they would have had to do it.
You know what? I don't understand why you can't see that. It's so, you know, because whenever you see the planes go into it, you see them fade. You don't see a destruction.
Well, why I don't believe that is because I think that that's just absolutely ridiculous. I mean, and as Anthony just pointed out, we're not even talking about hours in the majority of cases here. We're talking about minutes. So you're talking about fabricating all these images from all these different angles. What's that?
What about the eyewitnesses? How did the images get onto their retinas? There are at least 500 eyewitnesses, probably more. Think of the number of buildings, windows in New York, which having one of their towers, very possessive peoples in big cities, you know, of their huge monuments to success. These two towers sitting there, one of them burning. How many people do you think were watching them? And were the images sort of implanted on their retinas by the CIA or CNN or ABC or WN whatever? Give me a break.
That's what these people try to get us to believe, is that, you know, everyone who claims to have witnessed a plane in New York City is somehow working for the government.
That's right.
And it's really despicable, this new practice that some people are doing, calling up witnesses and people who took photographs and videos on that day and harassing them on the phone.
This is true.
It's really amazing. On the other side of the break, we're going to be joined by Jim Hoffman. He's going to join us in this discussion. And Jim's got some long-term experiences with some of the hoaxes that are being pushed within the movement, and he's going to add his perspective here. Anthony Lawson will remain with us. We'll be right back on the other side of this break on Truth Revolution Radio.
Okay.
Power to the people.
All right, we're back on Truth Revolution Radio, the second hour of the show. And we've been talking to Anthony Lawson, who created a great video called This Is an Orange, which very clearly shows the uncanny similarity of the destruction of World Trade Center 7 with your average controlled demolition. And it's a very handy educational tool for people who haven't been exposed at this late date yet to WTC7. And then Anthony moved on to a series of videos which expose the bad information and the intentional deceptions apparent in a series of films called September Clues, which advocates the theory that no planes at all were involved in the attacks of 9/11. And we're going to be joined in this hour by Jim Hoffman of WTC7.net, 911review.com, and 911research.com. Jim, welcome to the show.
Hi, it's good to be on.
Hey, it's great to have you back on here. So, just off the top of your head, what do you think of all this no planes nonsense?
Well, I've not really been following the more recent iterations of it, but it all seems to be sticking with the same theme that's been around, you know, that I observed since I first became involved in the, you know, 9/11 truth and my research back in 2003. What's so interesting is that the same themes just keep being recycled over and over again, and as more people become involved, they might not be aware of the history of it, that it does go back, that it is just the same rehash, you know, ideas being rehashed again and again, despite the lack of any evidence whatsoever to support these ideas, the video fakery, the plane crashes being faked. And so, yeah, I've seen it all before. I thought it was interesting. I just caught the last few minutes of the previous segment, and I heard two no-planers call in. I didn't find them particularly, I'll just say that I wasn't persuaded that they were necessarily believed what they were saying. In fact, I haven't, I've never met a single person outside of some of the people I've met in conferences and 9/11 truth events and so on. I've never met a single person that even begins to buy into these ideas like the no planes hit the World Trade Center buildings. It's just so absurd. And yet, looking at all the stuff online and all these very fancy websites and video productions and all these very well-produced videos that have been coming out for years now, you wouldn't get any sense of how few people really take these ideas seriously. And yet, look at how effectively they're being marketed. I mean, they're being given excellent marketing and production, but they have no plausibility and no evidence behind them.
Well, you bring up two points here that I'd like to highlight, and that is until very, very recently, I'd never come across anyone in real life, meaning off the internet, who took any of these ideas seriously at all. And it's only much more recently with the slick repackaging of these old and long debunked ideas into new formats that are very slick, that I've come across people who actually are, you know, who have been suckered into them. And that's, you know, of course, why I wanted to give it some attention today. Anthony, you say they're like music videos.
Well, they are. I mean, if you, so many of them have this sort of beat track and stuff. I think it's disgraceful what they're doing, too. I mean, we're looking at images of basically 3,000 people dying over and over and again to a hot beat track. It's disgraceful. It's disgusting. I mean, these people are just awful. And, you know, this is one of the reasons why I've set out to try and, you know, divert attention away from it. And I think that the music aspect and this, you know, using music and these images is disgraceful.
We've still got Mike in Tennessee hanging on the line here, and Anthony, you asked a question, and I'd like an answer for this too. And Mike, if you can tell us, what about all the eyewitnesses of the planes in New York City?
Well, yes, sir. You know, if we've got real eyewitnesses that did not see the TV first. Because if you had asked me, 5 minutes after that happened, since I seen it on TV, right off the bat, you don't think the TV would ever lie, that they would do a con game to you. And so
I'm asking about people who were on the ground there in New York City.
I think that those people probably seen the television. They seen it on television first and then gave their testimony without thinking that, since I seen it on the television, they said it.
Okay, what about the people who didn't see it on television, actually saw it with their very own eyes happen in front of them? How did those images get onto their retinas?
Then I would use them as being a good eyewitness, okay? If they haven't been, talked to or something, they were just really good eyewitnesses, kind of like the firefighters. The firefighters, I think, that ran to the scene, I think those would be really good witnesses, I don't discredit anything. I want to look at everything. That's one of the things I think is great about what you're doing, okay? We can disagree on this, but yet that you're bringing up great things because I want to get to the truth just as you guys do. And I think having a discussion like this allows that. See, I think that each one bring up good points, and that's how, if we're Americans really want to get to the truth, okay? That's what we're after, because we know that this is all a sickening thing, what happened up there. And, I have no evidence. So I'm going on evidence here because I wasn't up there. I didn't see it. I didn't have any eyewitnesses tell me. I have found no plane parts and no people or none of that, And everything that the government has said has been a lie and a cover-up,
Well, one thing I'd like to say, Mike, is that I think it is good to be able to have a civil discussion about this stuff, and that's one thing that the general attitude of the people who are pushing this no planes material precludes, because they have a tendency to act very uncivilly, and so they tend to try to prevent that. But what you said is we bring up good points and they bring up good points. And one thing that we're highlighting here is that a lot of the points, in fact, just about all of them that have been brought up by the videos that are pushing this material aren't good points. And that's what Anthony Lawson has exposed in his videos, is the fact that there's really no way around, the fact that these videos, are intentionally deceptive. Jim, what do you have to say to this?
Michael's talking about having seen the evidence or being convinced by the evidence is reminiscent of what someone like Morgan Reynolds has said for a couple of years now. But the evidence is there. I mean, there's photographs of, even for somebody who wasn't there to actually see it firsthand, the photographs of the plane parts on the ground, they match the parts from a 767. If you analyze the motion of the plane hitting the tower, the parts that get penetrated, the explosions, the physics all works as far as I'm concerned. I've looked at it in detail. There's been a great deal of very detailed analysis of these kind of claims. I would recommend Eric Salter's work in which he's gone through and debunked all the claims that were out from, between about 2003 and 2004. And, of course, you can always come up with new claims like this new even more flimsy claims, perhaps, like this, the videos that Anthony does such a good job of debunking. But so there's really no evidence that there were no planes, and a mountain of evidence that there were planes. But I think what I would like to emphasize when we have discussions about this is ask why, instead of just going on and talking about these claims as if they have any merit, is ask why this stuff exists in the first place. Why is so much energy being expended promoting these claims? And then, like I said, I think it's great for people to debunk them once they're out there. But I think at the same time, we need to keep the perspective of asking why these ludicrous claims are being promoted and used promoted as 9/11 truth exposure. And the answer I would give is that it provides a smokescreen in order to cover up the very real evidence that the buildings were destroyed by controlled demolitions. The core of this massive crime, murder of these thousands of people, by the intentional controlled demolition of these buildings, for which there are mountains of evidence. So what better way to distract attention to cover up that evidence of the actual crime by instead asserting something that didn't happen, and then, you know, going around in circles with, you know, continuing to make claims that the planes didn't hit the towers, for example.
Very good point. Very good points.
It's sort of like a gigantic straw man.
Exactly. Because, I mean, what could be a better way of concealing the controlled demolition of the buildings than just creating this ludicrous claim that's very close in time and space to that event, you know, that when the planes hit the towers, that was the real event, that was the distraction event that was supposed to, you know, the planes hitting the towers and the damage that was done to the towers and the fires, that, according to the official story, is what caused the towers to collapse. So you focus attention on that and say, oh, no, that part wasn't real. When that part was real, the part that the official story has a completely unscientific hypothesis that has no evidence to support, and is a completely empty, vacuous hypothesis that, you know, according to NIST, the towers spontaneously collapsed because an initiating event went to global collapse, this entire hand-waving. There's absolutely no evidence for it, and a mountain of evidence that it was controlled demolition, because it has all the features of controlled demolition, the explosiveness of it, the fact that the buildings were systematically shredded from top to bottom, the fact that there was, you know, just no surviving stuff of any size from the contents of those buildings. The buildings were just thoroughly pulverized, and it's obvious to people if they look at it. But if you can get to the public, I mean, the purpose of disinformation is to inoculate the public with these bogus ideas so that they have a predisposition, a prejudice against considering evidence of the real crime before they've ever seen that evidence. Because most people didn't really look at the evidence like of controlled demolition early on because they were in such shock. That was certainly the case in my case. I didn't look at those events in what I consider an objective way until a year and a half after the event, because the shock is so deep, that shock that causes a disconnect from rational analysis. The 9/11 was a psyop, a very masterfully engineered psyop that was designed to disconnect people from their rational analysis of those events, insert an official explanation, and then keep that official explanation cemented by, when necessary, injecting enough nonsense around any ideas that are contrary to the official story to keep the official story kind of, you know, the story that's assumed to be true by default. So I think it's a complex psychological operation from the engineering of the attack itself to an ongoing program to marginalize any questioning, any serious challenges to that story by surrounding it with nonsense. That's, you know, I mean, it's a very sophisticated campaign.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's a very good explanation. It's just a diversionary tactic, and I'm amazed that people like Morgan Reynolds and Jim Fetzer stand up and do this kind of thing. It makes one think that they must be part of this scheme of the diversion.
Yeah, it certainly has that effect. I mean, you can't. It's really hard to know what motivates people. You know, there's always some reason that, you know, it's possible that they're just really, you know, they just have a. They're just really challenged in some way, or they're, you know, something. You can't really know, but it certainly has the effect of these people, you know, people with some that have some stature and reputation. I mean, James Fetzer created this Scholars for 9/11 Truth and surrounded Stephen Jones with it for almost a year before Stephen Jones finally broke out of it. But that really kind of limited the growth and the awareness that Stephen Jones's work was creating, because credentialed professor that really looked at the controlled demolition hypothesis and wrote this paper. It really had a profound effect, but that was somewhat limited by Fetzer creating the Scholars for 9/11 Truth group, and then kind of attaching those ideas, kind of surrounding Stephen with a bunch of other stuff that was, you know, far less credible and you know, I think did a great deal of damage to the work that Stephen was doing.
I agree. Looking back at it, and the way that the people they split apart, and they sort of got a semi split website now. But, I mean, yeah, well, Stephen Jones has almost disappeared.
Scholars for 9/11 Truth and Justice, which the vast majority of the people that are originally signed up to be part of the original Scholars for 9/11 Truth went over to that and joined this new group because there was this whole fight over control of the domains and stuff. So there's a so-called some of the original domains now point to both. Both groups. So on the one side, you have Fetzer, who's just promoting some of the most ridiculous junk science, like, you know, beams from outer space destroy the towers, and, you know, various no planes theories. The whole works. And then on the other side, you have Scholars for 9/11 Truth and Justice that has some of the most credible people, like Stephen Jones, Kevin Ryan, Richard Gage. You know, a whole number of people who are doing really serious work. But it's really difficult for us
I've seen their website. I just wish they hadn't taken a name which was so close to the original one. I wish they had gone right away from that, because that can be very confusing, you know.
Yeah, maybe that wasn't a good decision. I don't know. I guess there was an intention to rehabilitate the idea of scholars, you know, from the damage that was done to it by what Fetzer did to it, and maybe that just wasn't advisable. Maybe it was better to just, you know.
Yeah. Oh, well, it's a small point, but
a whole new idea. I don't know.
And you can find that group, Scholars for 9/11 Truth and Justice, at stj911.org. We will be right back after this break. Fascinating discussion here on Truth Revolution Radio. We'll be right back. Truth Revolution Radio. This is the official broadcast of TruthAction.org. And today we're spending a little bit of time shining some light on some of the hoax material being aggressively pushed within the 9/11 Truth Movement, specifically the so-called no planes and so-called TV fakery material. A lot of this stuff has been around for a long time. And more recently, we've seen it repackaged and regurgitated in a much more slick format with this September Clues video series. And we've been talking with Anthony Lawson, who's done a series of videos debunking, exposing the fraud in the September Clues videos. You can check out his work at youtube.com/A Lawson911. And see what that's all about. And we've been joined by Jim Hoffman of WTC7.net, 911review.com, and 911research.com. It's great having both of you guys on here.
Great to be here.
It's good to be here, yes. Just open the window. There's some fresh air in.
We've got Anthony calling all the way from Thailand. It's early morning over there in Thailand. Anthony's graciously joined us to have a discussion today. And we took some calls earlier in the show from people who claim to actually believe in this stuff, that no planes were involved in the 9/11 attacks. And we've got a couple more callers on the line. I'm interested in seeing where they're coming from. We've got Tim in Montreal. Hey, Tim, what's going on? Are you a no-planer too?
Well, I'll tell you, excuse me, tell you, Jim, I must be nervous. Well, excuse me. I must be nervous or something, because I don't know what to believe anymore. Like, I really believed, or I was into the plane theory for a long time. Then obviously September Clues and 911 Taboo came along, and it really, really made me question just automatically taking for granted that, you know, planes hit the towers, whether or not, you know, it's ridiculous that they didn't. at least, you know, made me question my own buying into things automatically without, you know, doing my own research on it. So, you know, just for me personally, the no-plane theory served a purpose there because it's making me do a little bit more research. But my question for you guys, and it's a real pleasure to talk to you all because I've been listening to all of you and reading all of your stuff for months now, and so it's a pleasure. My question for you is there a website, and you may have mentioned it before and I missed it, is there a website where I can go to see a list of the names and character references for all of the witnesses that actually saw the airplanes hit the towers?
Don't know.
Actually, I think there is a good one, and I just want to double check it here that I've got the right thing. Yeah, a really good place to go for that, Tim, is 911disinformation.com. They've done a really great job of cataloging the evidence here, and I definitely recommend that you check that out. Have you had a chance to check out Anthony's videos?
I just caught the show like 10 minutes before I called, so I only got the tail end of what you guys were talking about. I just, a lot of what we all discuss and everything, it all comes from internet data. And, you know, we can believe things and we can get into arguments, and we don't ever really kind of chase down the original information. I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing. I don't think we would be harassing people if we actually wanted to talk to some of the witnesses directly. I mean, a lot of us are out here and we just don't know what to believe anymore. We really don't. You know, and man, WPTRN has been a godsend for me. I mean, it is. I've learned so much from you guys. You have no idea, and I respect all of you so much. But there's just so much conflicting information out there that I just, you know, need to get to the real. Like, I need to see for myself and talk to people. I just need to talk directly to people. So I've been emailing people for months and months trying to get, like, you know, people to give me their opinions and their evidence and stuff. So I just really wanted to, you know who all of these people were that actually saw the planes hit the towers, so that I could speak to them myself, just so that I could get from them, oh, yeah, I saw those planes, and they definitely were, you know, the American Airlines 1177, I believe, or 11175, or whatever they were. But that was just my point that, you know, it really... You know, I'm tired of, like, just listening to things as they are on the net, and I want to ask these witnesses directly what they saw. That's all.
So. Well, you make a good point, Tim.
Is read the that there's about 500 accounts of firefighters, emergency responders, and those are about the those cover the entire event. These are like New York City firefighters and medical technicians that arrive on the scene, and a lot of those have, you know, include things like seeing planes. I mean, you know, if you just went to New York City and probably talked to people on the street that live around there, I mean, at least they would probably know people who actually saw it. I mean, there were hundreds and hundreds of people who actually saw the planes, and you see those. I mean, I haven't done a systematic account of locating all those witnesses because the evidence that the planes, that these were 767s that hit the towers. I mean, there's all kinds of independent videos that show that the crash signatures in the buildings match the planes. You know, there's just no evidence to the contrary. So that's not been a project that I've put a priority on is to enumerate all those people. What I have done on 9/11 research is to compile a list of witnesses who saw the plane hit the Pentagon, who saw the plane approach and hit the Pentagon, because that's been a more controversial area, an area in which I once bought into the no plane, the no jetliner, or at least no 757 theory that hit the Pentagon. I think that's also nonsense, that indeed a 757, probably Flight 77, did indeed hit the Pentagon. That's another issue. But no, as far as the World Trade Center, it's just never even risen to that level of you know, needing that kind of attention, because... And if you really are that confused about it, I'd recommend just looking at some of the evidence. Look at the photos of the plane parts that came down. Look at the videos, and look how well they do match the alleged planes that hit them. I mean, everything. There's, and look at Anthony's video that shows how you know, how shoddy and how manipulative these videos that purport to show that there weren't plane crashes were. You don't need to look that far into the history of 9/11 disinformation to see how obviously the no planes at the World Trade Center, the people pushing that stuff are the people who are the most clearly associated with disinformation techniques of all kinds in terms of harassing people, you know, in terms of just perpetually pumping out the most ludicrous theories, like, you know, the same people are involved in promoting the space weapons theories and just all the most ridiculous stuff. So it's really not that, you know, in my opinion, it's not at all that confusing.
You make a good point there, and if you really look at the behavior of the people who are most aggressively pushing this stuff, it really points to a dishonest agenda. I mean, we see these theories or ideas, you know, some I don't even think would qualify as theories because they're not well developed enough, but you see them pushing stuff that's been debunked, and they really come back with no answer to that, but then they keep pushing it and pushing it and pushing it aggressively, and at the same time launching these really virulent attacks on other 9/11 researchers. And I don't think that those are the qualities of an honest advocate for truth.
No, the abuse is appalling. I mean, bad language, calling people shills who are probably shills themselves. This sort of, I use this argument many, many times in comments when people.
Gentlemen, we have called you together to inform you that we are going to overthrow the United States government.
You still think that jet fuel brought down the World Trade Center? Does anybody else see a problem here? If the government has nothing to hide, why are they so afraid to answer a few questions? This story does not add up.
No, the official story of 9/11 does not add up. And neither do the hoax theories of no planes and TV fakery. Mm-hmm. And we've been having a very interesting discussion on today's show. About some of these theories. We're talking with Jim Hoffman of WTC7.net, 911review.com, 911research.com, and Anthony Lawson, who's done a great series of videos exposing the September Clues hoax. And just on the other side, we were talking to a caller from Montreal, Tim, who said he just doesn't know what to believe anymore. And I just wanted to point out some research resources, a really great site to look at if you have been that confused by this material that's being very aggressively pushed. I recommend going to 911disinformation.com. There's a great catalog of all the photographic material from New York, tons of witness statements, and a lot of other resources. That's 911disinformation.com. If you've been suckered into September Clues, you can check out Nick Irving's paper, Debunking September Clues, which is available at truthaction.org/debunkingseptemberclues.pdf. You can check out Anthony's videos, his Debunking September Clues series, which is available at youtube.com/alawson911. And Anthony got cut off right before the break. We were talking about the behavior of the people who are most aggressively pushing this material and how it really doesn't add up as far as, you know, being the demeanor of someone who is honestly pursuing the truth. First of all, pushing these long debunked theories, hoax ideas, and then virulently attacking other 9/11 researchers. And this is something that caller Tim brought up. He was saying he just wants to talk to the witnesses, etc., and that doing so isn't harassing them. But I really want to bring to light that there actually is a campaign by the no-planers of harassing the witnesses. And yeah, there's one person in particular who's been calling up people who were witnesses in New York City, people who took photographs, people who videotaped the planes, and harassing them. And I really think that it's the
Jet
most
fuel?
Yeah, I guess that would be it. I just think it's really the most despicable behavior. And
it's very unpleasant, yeah. And he doesn't, Jeff Hill, who calls himself Pump It Out on his video, he doesn't state what his business is. He was asked by several of, I've listened to a few of his so-called phone interviews, and when asked where he's coming from, particularly John Del Giorno, who was flying the one of the choppers on the day 9/11, roughly in a plane, and he just said, "Oh, I'm from a Canadian independent." He's not from a Canadian. He's in a No Planes website. That's what he is. But he wouldn't say that. And he wouldn't say, basically, I'm trying to find out if you're lying or I'm accusing you of lying, which he goes on to do in his videos. He's done that to Park Forman. He's done that to Carmen Taylor. He's wasn't able to talk to Michael Herzegani, who refused to talk to him, which I'm glad he did. But he's... he sounds like a very nasty piece of work, that's all. But I was talking just before the break about the comment sections. The people who will not accept a fact which I have proven to be wrong or an instance of manipulation, lies, will then become abusive, call you all kinds of names, morons, a moron, and worse. They also really will keep this campaign going. Sorry.
Yeah, and just in my own experience, and I can say, does this behavior add up to the demeanor of someone who is genuinely interested in pursuing the truth about 9/11? I'd say no. In my own experience, you can look at the kinds of videos that are made by the people who are advocating this hoax material and see what they're up to. Now, a certain subset of these people who aggressively push these so-called No Planes videos have also done a series of videos that the whole purpose of which was to harass 9/11 yeah. truth activists, other 9/11 truth researchers. I was dragged into this. We had, it was like scores of videos made, these little psyop-y videos made saying that truthaction.org was an Al-Qaeda cell and giving out people's personal information, 9/11 activists' personal information, encouraging people to stalk them, saying that, truthaction.org is a terrorist cell and, the government needs to use the Patriot Act and extradite these people, etc. And, literally scores of these videos. Now, what kind of person is going to make videos calling 9/11 truth activists Al-Qaeda cell members? And doing that. Does that add up to you?
Paid informers. Where are we living? East Berlin or something? My God. Well, that's what America's becoming like, isn't it? The Patriot Act, all this sort of thing. What's the saying? The last bastion of a patriot is...
I have another answer to that too. What kind of person would engage in those kind of behaviors? Well, the same kind of person who would plan and perpetrate the original crime. Because what's the purpose of all this stuff? What's the evident, obvious effect of all this stuff? Is to keep the actual crimes bottled up behind the smokescreen of all this nonsense. And that's a thing that I think isn't immediately obvious to people that haven't been paying attention or aren't involved in 9/11 truth. Because I think there's this kind of dissonance. You have this horrific crime. And then it's I think the thing that people would expect would be, well, if it was really an inside job, they would really go after, they would, engage in some kind of skullduggery to shut people up and prevent them from talking about it. But no, it's actually much more effective to create this whole veil of nonsense and engage in all kinds of forms of other kinds of forms of harassment, not lethal.
Ridiculous, yeah.
But I think there's a kind of disconnect there that people don't. There's such a difference between the horrific nature of the real crime, and what people think of as where they normally see nonsense, you know, science fiction or whatever, it's something they think of it as something completely harmless. But no, the effect of the stuff is deadly, because it is in effect to protect the perpetrators of this crime, to keep the crime any kind of real prosecution of this crime from happening. And these campaigns are very sophisticated in terms of the breadth of the forms that they can take. Like we talked about, just the injection of nonsense. Okay, that's one technique. The harassment, that's another technique. But there's a whole spectrum of techniques. I mean, I liken it to this idea of full spectrum dominance that you hear talked about by the military people, the people, presumably the it was pulled off by people who were, you know, experts in military tactics, military intelligence tactics, tactics of disinformation, of deceiving people. And so, there's a whole, I've just come to observe a whole number of these tactics just in my own research and what I've dealt with in the progress of, you know, creating 9/11 research and talking with people and so forth. And some of the other tactics are things like, other things that aren't so much like what we might think of as COINTELPRO, like surveillance and infiltration and so forth, but other things that are just creating a hostility to critique, so that whenever you can't discuss things intelligently without being attacked, you know, the various forms of social engineering, pairing valid and invalid ideas so that they're kind of like wed together, creating this idea of the honeypot of creating something that is for the most part valid, and then injecting just one piece of nonsense in it, like poisoning the well, enabling nonsense without even promoting it yourself, like just saying, well, I think it's, you know, creating a forum for nonsense, even without supporting it. Like I think of a certain person in Madison, Wisconsin, who hosted a what he called a science conference, and it was just a way of creating a platform for the most ridiculous ideas, like space beams and so forth. So there's just this vast spectrum of disinformation techniques that I think are being targeted at the truth of the attack with great precision and tremendous resources, and are disguised in so many ways. Like, you know, we talk about these productions being really slick, these no plane ones, but there's also really sloppy ones too. It's the idea of full spectrum dominance. It seems to be coming from several different directions.
We'll be right back after this break. Revolution Radio, broadcasting live on We the People Radio Network. This is the official broadcast of TruthAction.org. And we're here in the final segment of our two-hour show. We dedicated today's show to shining some light on some of the disinformation, the intentionally deceptive material that's being very aggressively pushed by a very, very small faction within the 9/11 truth movement, specifically the No Planes and TV Fakery material. We've been talking with Anthony Lawson, who did a great series of videos debunking September clues, and Jim Hoffman of WTC7.net, 911research.com, and 911review.com. And right before the break, Jim was talking about kind of the policy of full spectrum dominance in effect in the disinformation.
Yeah, the idea is that there's so many ways of sabotaging a social justice movement, whether it's by harassing people or injecting nonsense or just disrupting things in any way they can, keeping, you know, going into discussion forums and just diverting discussion away from anything useful. And there's so many techniques. I mean, it would take quite a while to catalog them. But an interesting example is one that's called the sock puppet, where you actually have two people who appear to be on different sides of the issue. Like you have the a no planes some advocate of no planes at the World Trade Center, and then somebody else debunking that. But then you go look in this other person, you find out that they're one of the most vehement no plane at the Pentagon person, or that they have ties to Holocaust, or they're Holocaust deniers and Nazi sympathizers and that kind of thing. So they create this whole fabric of all these people coming from different positions, and they seem to be independent, but they're actually accomplishing the same objective, which is to sabotage the goal of the movement, which is to expose the crimes.
Basically to control or dominate both sides of the argument.
Exactly. There's a saying that the way to control your opposition is by leading it. So if you can be there first and kind of shape the discussion, even while you appear to be advocating, something that's a key position or something, then you're in a position where then you can sink it, because then you can kind of, you're in, by having control over it, you can manipulate it, you can divert it, you can do, I noticed that some of the very people that I was originally reading, that were talking about the World Trade Center demolition, later, it turns out, I learned more and more, were associated with some of the most outrageous stuff, like Nazis, Nazi sympathies, and some of the most ludicrous claims that then started to be published on the very websites that had some what I thought was pretty good analysis early on.
Right. Well, we're seeing this happen still today. I mean, I think that's a very common effect that we're seeing in the 9/11 truth movement. In the last segment, you mentioned this conference that took place in Madison last summer in August, which basically amounted to a hoax conference, just packed with all of the worst information possible in the movement. And now we're seeing a DVD of that conference being marketed by Sophia of 9/11 Mysteries, which, I thought 9/11 Mysteries was, a pretty solid movie. It's fairly solid. I know, Jim, you've done a critique of that, pointing out things that weren't totally solid in the movie, but overall, I thought that was a fairly solid movie. And now, we've got the producer of that promoting just the worst stuff that's out there.
One wonders why that happens. I think it's the 9/11 Mysteries movie on demolition is pretty good. I think it would be good with some of the more speculative material edited out. I think it would be a lot better. But one wonders how that happens. Now, I don't have any doubts that Sophia is completely sincere. But what I've observed with other people is that certain people will be targeted, and they will just be ingratiated to people, they will bestow all kinds of attention and so forth on them, and thereby kind of lead them into a role that they can't say no to, because they're just being given so much. They're being given who knows what, resources, for praise, whatever. I mean, people can be manipulated. And I think that's a lot of what goes on too. I mean, that's a lot of what goes on with mis and disinformation. Is the germ of the idea might be disinformation, but it's much more effective if they can find somebody who actually believes it, somebody who actually vests their ego in it and take the idea and run with it. Then they own it. Then they have a vested interest in it, and that's much better than if you have some agent that knows that it's a bogus idea and is just trying to promote it. How much better if you can have people that actually believe in it. So there's a tremendous amount of psychological engineering that goes on in this disinformation campaign, and I think that's what it primarily is. It's a psychological operation. It's part of the whole operation of 9/11, but it's probably bigger than the operation of the attack itself in terms of the amount of resources that are dedicated to it.
It's kind of seeming like that at this point. And I wanted to, give a plug to your site, 911review.com, because you're talking about all these different strategies of disinformation and sabotaging a social justice movement. And on 911review.com, you really give a good overview of the different kinds of tactics.
Yeah, go
ahead.
A number of things, like the Trojan horse technique that I call it. If you can appear to be somebody who has some really valuable asset for the movement, and then you're welcome with open arms, and then you start pumping out, injecting really ridiculous stuff that's tremendously damaging. There's a whole spectrum of techniques that are used. Also, a lot of what I do on 911review.com is just is just objectively debunk a lot of the claims that have been picked up, a lot of ideas that have just been, you know, that originate somewhere and then are just picked up and propagated without any critical analysis of them. And what we really need is critical analysis, you know, what ideas are valid, which ones aren't, and, you know, apply the scientific method, apply common sense. And it's not that hard to see what's real and what's not. It's not that hard to see that the claims that the no planes hit the towers are just completely vacuous. And that the claims that the buildings were actually destroyed by control of demolition are backed up by a tremendous body of evidence. I mean, there's just this vast difference between those two ideas. One is wrong, one is right. And it's, you know, it's vital to sort out what's wrong from what's right, because that's what it's all about.
I think I was perhaps conned into, you know, it was attempted on me because James Fetzer invited me on his talk show with heaping praise on me for This Is an Orange. And then it turns out that I was then invited by one of his acolytes to do a voiceover for a No Plane movie, which of course I learned very quickly what was afoot. And we came to loggerheads about all sorts of things like that. It's probably what they were trying to do, to enlist me to help them.
That's a great example. Yeah. That just shows that it shows that it worked. It's a perfect example.
And I really love that story too, Anthony. I mean, that's a delicious irony of how you came to do this great work that you've done exposing September Clues, is that this group tried to enlist you in using your great voiceover skills in one of their No Planes movies.
Well, listen, I've got to use my driving skills and take my son to play tennis. He might have some competition. So very nice to talk to you. And, Jim, nice to have met you. And we'll be in touch by email. Okay? Take care.
Thanks so much for coming on the show, Anthony.
You're welcome. Bye.
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 And you can check out Anthony's videos at youtube.com/alawson911. And, again, just some other resources for dealing with this kind of disinformation. 911disinformation.com is a great site. Our guest Jim Hoffman's site, 911review.com, is another great one. If you're dealing specifically with September Clues, you can check out Nick Irving's paper, Debunking September Clues. That's available at truthaction.org/debunkingseptemberclues.pdf. And, well, we're pretty much at the end of the show. Jim, do you have any final comments you'd like to add here?
Oh, I don't know what I would say to sum up. I think I've said most of it. I guess to sum up, I would just say that the essence of the cover-up of the crimes of 9/11 is a disinformation campaign that is multifaceted and involves a whole spectrum of techniques, but at the center of it all is injecting nonsense into the dialogue and reinforcing the stereotype that is then played in the media that anyone questioning the official story of 9/11 is a lunatic conspiracy theorist that embraces the most ridiculous stuff. That's the fundamental game of the cover-up, and so I think it behooves everybody to acknowledge that is the case, look into it, and be aware of that, and be on guard, and for all these things. I mean, it took me a while to really come up to speed. It took me like probably a year before I really saw what was really going on, and so, but I think other people can benefit from experience of those of us who have encountered it.
Yeah, well, you just did an excellent job of summing it up there. Thanks so much for joining us today, Jim Hoffman.
Thanks. It was good to be on.
All right. We'll talk to you soon, and I want to encourage everyone to get out there and join us in united action for 9/11 Truth and Justice on this upcoming Friday, January 11th. Hit truthaction.org.